I don't see those same people coming next year saying, well, I don't know if I got saved, or this, or this, or this. Or they're not here anymore. So we need to be praying for fruit that remains. Amen?
Amen.
But not just that. We need to pray for fruit that reproduces. Right? That you're going to be reproducing yourself. And guys, that's how it works. That's exactly what... That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what Jesus desires of us in John chapter 15, isn't it? He desires that we bear fruit, but not just fruit, but much fruit, and fruit that remains. And we need to be reproducing ourselves. So that's my prayer, right? That's my prayer. So when you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, here's what you're going to find. I just want you to see the first few words of chapter 16 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Say amen.
Man.
That was weak. I hope you're there. Thank you. I'll take that. 2 Chronicles 16:1 says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. All right, so you know that tells you that a lot of time has passed, doesn't it? From where we left him pretty strong, right? Asa was doing pretty well. He's fighting his enemy. He said, okay, you're gonna start a fight? Well, I'm gonna show up to the battlefield and I'm just gonna sit back and trust the Lord and watch God go to work. That's how he left Asa, isn't it? Well, let's fast forward 21 years and let's see where he is. So I kind of want to see if you can do that in your own mind. Where are you in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road? Where are you? And I know that's hard for you to imagine, but let me just tell you, you'll blink and you'll be over 40 years old. Yeah. You'll be 40 years old. You'll be me. And you'll be bald. And you'll be chunky. Will you still be serving the Lord? Will you still have a desire and a burning passion for souls? Will you still hang on God's every word? Will you still be seeing others come to Christ because of the ministry and how you poured into them? That's my heart. And when I read 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1, what you find is everything goes downhill for King Asa. Somebody that started off so strong, all falls apart. And so real quick, here's the first thing. I'm going to dare you tonight to finish strong. I'm going to dare you to finish strong. And when I say finish strong, I'm not talking about camp. Yeah, we need to finish camp strong because I'm tired and I've got cramps. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Man, I'm hurting. Some of you are burnt. You're exhausted. Man, let's finish this strong for sure. But I'm talking till you breathe your last breath. I'm daring you to finish strong. Until you don't have any more breath in you, no more energy in you, nothing left. I dared you last night to go all in, right? Well, that means to go all in means I got to go all in until the end. I want to finish strong. And unfortunately, what we're going to read here is an individual who chose not to finish strong. Here's King Asa, who's having the best church camp of his life. And it falls apart. Because he quit growing. I'm challenging you. I'm daring you to finish strong. All right, so let me just say this. I'm challenging, I'm daring you to finish strong, but if you are here right now and you're still on the fence, you still don't know whether you're saved or not, I'm challenging you to quit. Quit coming up with excuses. Quit holding back. Quit waiting. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that the day, today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Would you just get saved today? Because honestly, the rest of this message, it's not going to apply much to you. You need to meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand like we did yesterday. Just as the message is going, man, maybe you just need to get up. Let's go grab a counselor and say, hey, let's go chat. Because I need to meet Jesus today. I've been putting it off for too long. I've been asking all kinds of questions, and the questions are being answered, and what are we going to do? Man, quit coming up with excuses. Quit playing games. Quit messing around. Your eternity is at stake. Take advantage of this opportunity you have right now. Let's meet Jesus Christ. For the rest of you, man, I dare you to finish strong. And 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1 says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. So here's Asa, hanging out, doing his thing. Here's the problem. 21 years later, he hasn't built anything. He hasn't grown. He hasn't prepared his army. Because when the enemy shows up, what does he do? He sits back and does nothing. Here comes Baasha, king of Israel, and he surrounds Asa to make sure that nobody gets to him. Nobody can leave Asa, and nobody can get to him. All right, so if you're saying, well, Tony, man, I want to finish strong. I don't want to quit. Well, then don't quit growing. Continue to walk with the Lord. Continue to grow in the Lord. You should never stop growing. Never get to the place where you are complacent. You should always be striving. You should always be growing. Because here's the honest truth. You are going to be tempted to coast. Especially immediately after camp. Man, I just had a time with Jesus. That was awesome. And you're going to try and coast on that for a while. And let me tell you, you're going to fall flat on your face. I told you I used to have to walk to and from school uphill both ways, right? And so when I was a little kid, we would ride our bikes as far up the hill as we could to go to the swimming pool, because the swimming pool was at the top of the hill in town. Big, long main street. Every time I go back to my hometown, it's like, that's not as big a hill as I always thought it was, you know? But we'd swim all day long. And I lived at the very bottom of the hill, and then back. It doesn't matter where I lived. You don't care. Right? But we'd get on little BMX dirt bikes, and we would pedal as fast as we possibly could down the hill. We were convinced we were going 55 miles an hour. It's probably 15. Right? But after a while, there just comes a point where you can't pedal anymore. And we would just coast. And we would try to see just how far we could get. Now, understand, I'm 10 years old. So my brain doesn't work half the time. And me and my cousin and my brother's 3 years younger than me, do the math, right? So we're going as fast as we can. We're coasting. We're having a blast. Until you cross the highway. Semi slamming on brakes and jackknifing and going up is a bad deal. Listen, that's where a lot of us get. We're just enjoying the ride. Man, camp was great. I'm on a Jesus high. Woohoo! And you're totally clueless that you're getting ready to be taken out by a Mack truck. No one died that day. Praise Jesus. But we never got to ride our bikes to the swimming pool ever again. And I know that's a silly example. But anytime I think about coasting, man, I picture myself at 10 years old in my BMX and losing my bike to a Mack truck. Man, that's exactly what happens to Asa. He has been coasting on victory. God has given him rest. And he's just been coasting in his relationship with God. And I know we talked about this last night, but we'll talk about it today. You seniors, you're going to have a difficult time when you no longer have this. You are going to have to replace this with other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to sharpen you and hold you accountable. Amen? Because you are going to be off to college and you're going to be doing your thing. And you're going to be trying to ride off of what you used to have. Man, if you're not continually growing, it's not going to be long until the Mack truck runs you over. It's called college. Well, Tony, how do I know that I'm coasting? Here's how you'll know. The difficult times will reveal it. When you go through it, The difficult times always reveal when you're coasting. Look what happens. Verse 1. Here comes Baasha, shows up. And what does Baasha do? He isolates Asa, doesn't he? He says, and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Now here's something you got to get. We got to understand this. When you are going through hard times, when you're going through difficult times, God uses those difficult physical situations to wake you up to spiritual realities. Everybody with me on that? God will use the difficult times to reveal what's really going on in your heart. And you know what Satan's doing at the exact same time? He's using that same situation. He's using that same difficult trial to isolate you, to separate you from everyone else. Don't go near here, squirrel. Right, there's something. I don't know. Is that a plane? Let me look.
Good?
All right, let's come back.
It's kind of quiet back there.
Listen, here's the deal. Satan is going to do everything he can to isolate you and get you away from everyone and everything else. And unfortunately, Asa sits back and watches it happen and does nothing about it. And God, at the same time, is trying to reveal what's going on in his heart. I like how Brian Clark, everybody know who Brian Clark is? Missionary Brian Clark to London, England. Man, I love how he puts it. Man, you don't get the juice without the squeeze. I love that. Man, when you get squeezed, you find out what's really going on inside of you. You can pretend all day long. And you can have it all together all the time. But the moment you get squeezed, you go through some difficult times, that's when you find out what's really going on in here. That's what God's doing. And unfortunately, Asa doesn't get it. Verse 2. Here's his response. Then Asa brought out silver and gold. He's getting ready to buy somebody off, isn't he? He doesn't show up for the battle. He doesn't say, let's trust the Lord. He doesn't pray. He doesn't do anything. He says, go get the money, honey. And let's pay this thing off. Let's deal with this way. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house. And the Lord, and the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, so you have Baasha, the king of Israel, coming against Judah. And then the king of Judah says, hey, let's go get the king of Syria to come fight our battles for us. Let's do that. That sounds like a good idea. And so he sends money, and he says, hey, there's a league between you and me. Why don't you turn your back on King of Baasha, and you come out against the nation of Israel. Verse 4, and Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king of Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. They didn't even show up to the battle that he's fighting. They went and started a new one to distract the enemy. And verse 5, and when it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. Verse 6, then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Man, everything turned out good, didn't it? Good job, Asa. Congratulations. Way to win that one. He didn't lift up a sword. He didn't shoot an arrow. He didn't pray one prayer. He says, King of Syria, why don't you come and fight this battle for me? And it appears to work, doesn't it? It looks like it works. So, number one, don't quit growing. Number two, verses 2 to 6, don't quit trusting the Lord. Listen, if you're going to finish strong, then don't quit. Last time we talked about don't quit. Right, last time we dared to trust the Lord. Well, here's the reality. If you're going to quit trusting the Lord, here's what happens. Verse 2. Instead of facing the enemy head on, you don't want to be bothered to deal with it. You ignore it. You pretend like it's not even happening. And the whole time, they're building this massive city in this fortress to make sure that nobody gets to you and that you can't get to anybody else. And now you're completely isolated from the rest of the world. You ever felt like that? Have you ever put yourself in that position? Oh, I have. Numerous times. And that's exactly what happens here in verse 2. He brings out silver and gold, and he buys this guy off. Get this. This is very, very important. Instead of trusting the Lord, he makes his problem somebody else's problem. Well, it's not my problem. That's your problem. You deal with that. Listen, I've been around enough teenagers enough to know. Man, I deal with that all the time. When you got an issue, we call you out on an issue, and you say, that's not my problem, it's your problem. Why don't you deal with it? Sad place to be, man. I know many believers that refuse to deal with their issues, and they expect you to solve it for them. They don't want to deal with Jesus. They don't want to face it head on. They just want to come and whine and cry on your shoulder instead of taking it to the Lord. And they want you to fix it. Listen, there's been some of that happening here at this camp. That's already been happening. Whining and crying, and you're not wanting to change anything. You just want to keep whining and crying about it. Well, save the drama for your mama, baby. Let's get right with Jesus. Everybody with me? Let's do some business with the Lord. And quit playing games. Quit watching the enemy attack and do nothing about it. Yes, we need brothers and sisters in Christ. But we need to seek the Lord first. We spend all this time talking about our problems. Talking about our problems. And I got this, and I got that. Problems are real. How about we take our problems up before we begin to deal with them? And try to get somebody else to handle our issues, man. You handle it. The body of Christ is there to help you. But if you're not wanting to help yourself, man, that frustrates me. Somebody coming up and crying a tear. And man, I'm genuinely concerned. And I want to help. But the whole time I'm realizing, this person doesn't want to help. They want us to keep rolling around in their misery. And unfortunately, that's where Asa is. That's exactly where he's at. Man, hey, Dad, will you come and rescue me? He says, sure. And in verses 4 to 6, that's what he does. He pays him off. And he comes and he distracts the enemy. And he goes and takes down the cities. He goes to rebuild his own cities. And never dealt with the enemy. Never dealt with it. And he convinces himself that it worked. And unfortunately, that's how you're going to treat, some of you are going to treat youth camp. You're going to come here, you're going to isolate, you're going to realize, yes, that's my enemy. You're going to call it out, you're going to name it, and you're going to cry about it, and you're going to go to some counselor, and you're going to reveal it. You're not going to deal with it. And you're going to pretend that it all worked. And you're going to go home, and you're going to testify in church, and you're going to testify, oh, I met with Jesus, and I dealt with this issue. No, you didn't. You called it out. That's all you did. How about we deal with those issues? Amen? How about we deal with them? Some of you are dealing with porn. Don't just acknowledge it. Deal with it. Amen? Some of you are dealing with depression, or you're dealing with anxiety, or you're dealing with addictions, or you're dealing with apathy. Whatever it is, call it out and then fight it. Take it out. Go to the Lord. Don't quit trusting Jesus. Amen? Quit playing games. Quit playing games. And it appears to work. But notice this. There is always a price to pay, isn't there? Look at verse 2 again. Then Asa brought out silver and gold from his own treasuries. Is that what it says? He took from the Lord's house. What's the Bible tell us that we are currently doing? We're laying up in heaven gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And what's he doing? He's forfeiting his silver and his gold because he refuses to deal with it. There is always a price to pay when you refuse to take on the enemy, and you are the one that pays the price. You're the one that goes broke. You are the one that pays the price, and it's eternal issues. We're not talking about temporary riches here. We're talking about silver and gold. All right, so verse 7. It says, and at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa. Oh, the word of God shows up, right? The prophet shows up. The prophet has something to say. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Look at this. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. What? Did you just read what I just read? You see, what you're going to find in verses 7 to 10, here's your next blank. Don't quit on God's word. Listen, if you're going to finish strong, you better not tune out God's word. So in the midst of all the reality, you're here. It's our last night of camp. Don't tune it out. Some of you have already shut it off. I'm done with camp. I'm just ready to go home. Don't tune it out. Because Hanani shows up, tells Asa, gives him the business, and it goes south. Listen, when you quit on the Word of God, you lose perspective. You lose perspective. Check this out. He says in verse 7, dude, you went to the wrong end. You're trying to fight King of Basha, and you go to the king of Syria, and you didn't even realize you had the opportunity to take out the king of Syria, and you didn't do it. Listen, we need to understand. I'm just going to take you back to history class for a moment. This kingdom has been divided. The 10 tribes, nation of Israel, have gone to the north, and the 2 tribes, Judah, have gone to the south. They're the same people group. They're the same people group. Now check what happens. Because this believer is upset with this believer. Instead of dealing with their issues, they go to the lost world for help. You see what just happened? They go to the lost. They go to the enemy to help. Listen, some of us are fighting the wrong enemy. Your enemy is not a brother or sister in Christ. Well, Tony, you don't understand. They did me wrong. Then you make it right. But I guarantee the answer is not to go to the world and join hands with the world. Don't run to the world. He should have ran and said, hey, he said, let's have a league, Basha. He said, let's get right together, Basha. And God gives him perspective in verse 7, man, you are fighting the wrong enemy. Your real enemy is the world. And you ran to it, bud. Okay, well, check out verse 8. You see, the Word of God gives you not just perspective on who the enemy is, but also gives you perspective of what God's already done for you in the past. He reminds him, hey, weren't the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? Remember, there was a million of them, and how many tanks did they have? 300 and some odd tanks, those chariots of horsemen? Because thou dost rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. You not remember those times where God has given you victory after victory after victory, and this is nothing compared to that. And you're going to come knocking on my door. You're going to come seeking my face. Man, we need to be reminded of the battles that God has already won victory over in our life, don't we? Man, we need to be reminded of those things. We need to get perspective. But I'm telling you, when you put the Word of God away, you lose all perspective. You can't see anything. Verse 9. Here's true perspective. You ready for this? Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. It's a heart issue, isn't it? Not an action issue. It's a heart issue. He says, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Listen, when you have the Word of God, you understand who the real enemy is, don't you? When you have the Word of God, you understand what God has done for you in the past. When you have the Word of God, it reveals to you what God is wanting to do in your life. Don't quit on His Word. So we know how the Disney story ends, don't we? It should be Asa's hand and eye. You are right. I'm going to repent. You're right. I need to get right with the Lord. What do you think His response is? the exact opposite. Verse 10. Then Asa was what? He was mad, angry, upset. With who? The seer, the prophet, the preacher of the word. And put him in a prison house. Uh-oh. You see, when you quit on God's word, you can't handle conviction. You can't handle conviction. And it comes out in bitterness. And bitterness comes out in a fleshly response of anger, doesn't it? Listen, instead of repenting, you harden your heart, and guess what you do? You isolate yourself from the Word of God. Remember, God, Satan's one goal is to isolate you. And when you quit on the Word of God, you isolate yourself from any perspective that God wants to give you. You isolate yourself from anything that can give you conviction. That is a dangerous place to be. Listen, I know what youth camp's like. You come and we have cabin time in the morning, and you're going to read in 1 John, and then we're going to be done with this. We're going to go straight to cabin time, and we're going to be more in the book, and then you're going to wake up in the morning, and we're going to be packing, we're going to eat breakfast, you're going to jump on buses, and you're going to hit the road. Some of you are going to sleep. Some of you are going to reflect on what God did at camp. And some of you are just going to move on to the next thing. And that's sad. And when somebody gets in your grill and says, hey, don't coast, don't quit, your immediate response and temptation is to lash out in anger because you don't like conviction. Man, dangerous place to be, guys. So Asa takes the Word of God, closes it, and locks it away. Locks it away, puts it away. You ever been around somebody that gets hurt, gets burned, and they put the Word of God down? They put it away? Well, things go, they go south, lightning reflexes. They go south real quick. Look what happens next. Last part of verse 10. And Asa, look at this, breaks my heart. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Turn your back on the Word of God. Here's your next blank. Don't quit on God's people. Don't quit on God's people. Oh, I got story after story. I'm sure you got story after story. Listen, if you quit on God's people, it won't be long until you choose to lash out at God's people and isolate yourself from them. It's their fault. It's this and this. Hurt people, what do? They hurt people. That's exactly what you're finding here. They're going to go find somebody because I'm miserable. You need to be miserable too. And your bitterness, guys, you got to understand this. This is important. Especially those of you that are having a difficult time with your parents. Or difficult time with some people that you love. Have you ever noticed you hurt the ones you love the most? Have you ever noticed that? Why? Because you know they're not going anywhere. But this is important to understand. Your bitterness is not only going to destroy you. It's going to destroy everyone around you. We don't have room for that. We don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. No time for no bitterness. Listen, I dare you to finish strong. That means you got to keep growing. That means you got to keep trusting the Lord. That means you have to keep in God's Word. That means you have to keep close to God's people. Don't quit on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't quit! Verse verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. He had some nasty feet, y'all. We don't know what it was. Could have been diabetes. Could have been really bad ingrown toenails. I don't know. But we know that he's diseased in his feet to the point that it's affecting his health, and he's going to die. And look what happens. He's diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. What did he do again? Ignored it. He did nothing about it. He just watched it happen and watched it happen and watched it happen. Yet, look at this. In his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, I'm all about going to the doctor. But I'm going to go to the great physician first. Listen, here's your next blank. Don't quit talking to God. Some of you are giving God the silent treatment. I got news for you. The silent treatment is not silent, nor is it treatment. It solves nothing. And now you've isolated yourself from the Word of God. You're going to isolate yourself from the body of Christ. And now you're going to isolate you from the throne room of the Lord. We talked about that last night. We have bold access to His throne. And now you're going to isolate yourself from that? From the power of God? My life's a mess, but I won't give God the satisfaction of asking for help. And that's where some of us are. You want to talk about your problems, and you want to walk in your misery, and you want to ignore people, and you want to isolate yourself, and you want to be all by yourself at camp, and people are trying to love on you, they're trying to reach out to you, and you're still holding them off at arm's length. And you just will not bow your knee and ask God to help. Some of you still are holding on to your sin. And you're trying to earn your way to heaven, and it doesn't work like that. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Let go of your pride and ask Him to save you. Some of you are dealing with all kinds of issues. Let go of your pride. Finish strong. Man, I pray that this message rings true in your ears for the rest of your days. Finish strong. Verse 13. And Asa slept with his fathers and died on the 140th year of his reign. For 2 years he is miserable, dying, does nothing to cry out to the Lord. In verse 13, he dies. 14. Everybody else is there to clean up his mess. Verse 14. And they buried him, look at this, in his own sepulchers, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. I got a few more blanks right here. Listen, no Bible, plus no accountability, plus no fellowship with God. What does that equal? Spiritual death. I'll say them again. No Bible, no accountability, and no fellowship with God. Huh, that sounds a lot like what we read over here in chapter 15 and verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Huh. No God, no local church, no Bible. And here we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 13 to 14, with Asa has no Bible, no accountability, no fellowship with God, and that equals spiritual death. You ever been around a believer that is absolutely spiritually dead? Can I just show you the three responses people have? And here's what's amazing to me. Spiritually dead people, they usually don't even know they're spiritually dead. And here's the three responses people have when you choose to die spiritually. Verse 14. And they buried him in his own sepulchers, which he had made for himself. Think about this. This guy spent more time at the end of his life preparing for his death than he did in getting victory. You know what people say? Well, she made her own bed, let her lie in it. It's exactly what you find here. He made his own bed. Now he has to lie in it. Oh, that's not it. And they laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices. Why would they do that? Because you stink! Right? Man, you just reek! When you are around somebody who is a spiritually dead, they are a carcass! And their life is just gross! And you walk around going, I am repulsed! What do we do to cover up the stink? That's why they put the spices in there. Because that's getting ready to decay. And the very last part says, and they made a very great burning for it. Here's the third response. My heart just breaks. It breaks my heart to see somebody go down in a ball of flames. And unfortunately, it happens all the time. Some of you are going to make some huge decisions at this camp. And because you'll choose not to finish strong, you're going to break the hearts of a lot of people. You're going to repulse some people. And you're going to get exactly what you plan to get. It doesn't have to be that way, does it? This is so sad. Tony, we're supposed to finish camp on a really big high. Did you not get the memo? Oh, I got it. I think we need a little dose of reality. Life is getting ready to hit you with a 2x4 across the face. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? It's getting ready to hit you. Saturday's coming. Monday's coming. It's going to hit you hard. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to be tempted to quit. Can I share my life verse with you? You can leave 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We'll leave Asa where he belongs, in the grave. We'll go to Colossians chapter 4. Last night I told you a story about that fire down in Texas. Everybody remember that? And I was at the end of my rope. I wanted to quit. I was tempted to quit. I mean, like, full on quit. Throw in the towel. I'm done. And I told how Mike Blake invited me to go down to Texas, and Brian Hedges was down there. Some pastors just loved me through it, prayed with me. I'm so grateful for that. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. That wasn't the darkest time of my ministry. The darkest time of my ministry is when the pastor I'm following fell in sexual sin. Church is running two services, gangbusters. People get discipled. this pastor that I've been following, let me just, I worded that on purpose like that twice. Because I was not following Jesus. I was following a man. Who was following Jesus. Or so I thought. In the moment of his deep, difficult time, it was revealed who he really was in his heart. It crushed me. Absolutely crushed me to have the guy that discipled me do that and then lie about it and not be repentant about it. It destroyed my heart. It destroyed me. Rocked my world. And I'm caught. I don't know what to do. I'm in my second year of pastor school. They don't cover that in pastor school. Not very often. That might be an addendum to pastoral procedures. Oh my goodness. I didn't know what to do. And now we have basically two churches knocking on my door, blasting my phone. Pre-cell phone days, praise the Lord. I didn't know how to handle it. And I wanted to quit. I said, we went from two services to one in 3 weeks. We went from 200 and some odd people to 30 in 6. And they're all looking to me for the answers. I ain't got one. This part of my body is saying, or my mind is saying, run, run, run. And the other part is saying, cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, those were the hardest days of my life. It's in my backyard. About 10 o'clock at night, on my knees, ugly face crying. I mean, ugly face crying. I didn't know what to do. I was at the end of my rope. I'm ready to quit. My neighbor was going to our church, and he was a deacon. He had just finished yelling and screaming at me because I didn't have all the answers. And he quit the church. I said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I fell on my face before the Lord and just wept. I said, God, you've got to do something here because I can't do this anymore. Praise the Lord, I ran to the Lord. Because the phone rang. And the moment I get him out of my mouth, the phone rings. And it's a guy I've never met in my life. Didn't know he existed. He heard about it in Denver, Colorado, of all places. Like, news travels fast, man. I don't know how he did it. He tracked me down. It was Pastor Dave Shelby. He says, hey, man, you don't know me. But I just want to love on you. I bet you want to quit right about now. I was like, yeah, you ain't got no idea. Like, I'm like, now on the spot, ready to quit. Thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful that I chose to trust the Lord, or I wouldn't be here. Those are just two of the big stories. I got more. There's other times I wanted to bail. And I was in the middle of doing my dissertation for Shepherd School on the book of Colossians. And I get to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. And I'm diagramming and I'm getting everything done. And verse 17 says, and say to Tony, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou what?
Fulfill it.
Fulfill it. David called me. I knew God had answered my prayer. So I get back up and I go inside. I said, well, I might as well keep doing what I'm doing. And I start studying the Bible. I'm praying. I'm getting back in fellowship with the Lord. Because I had a few words, so I'm just saying. And I get to Colossians 4:17. And the tears begin to just fall down my face. I'm like, I've got to be out of tears by now. Tears have just fallen down my face. Because I know God is speaking to me. Say to Archippus. Say to Tony. Say to Brian. And say to Thomas. Say to Alex. And say to Jeff. And say to Kale. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Not that you talk about it. And not that you study it. And not that you know it. And not that you can identify it. But that you finish strong. Amen? Finish strong. All out. Nothing left. Paul said it this way. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let me tell you, at the end of my life, I want to be crawling over the finish line with absolutely nothing left. I love those videos. I love those YouTube videos of marathon runners and their wobbly leg and they're just trying to make it to the finish line. I love that stuff because they put it all out there. They left it there. They went all in. And they went until the end. That's what I want for you. That's what I'm daring you to. Don't quit. Finish strong. Amen? Don't do it. Don't quit. People are dropping like flies all the time. It breaks my heart. Finish strong. Here's your last blanks. These are the words I want on my headstone. I finished strong. I want those written on my headstone. It's in my will. You ought to get a will if you're over 40. Just saying. Somebody told me that. But it's also, don't write it if I didn't. If I didn't finish strong, don't you dare put that on that tombstone. What would your final words be? I finished strong. Lord God, I thank you for these students. It has been an absolute joy to get to know them, to be with them, to love on them, to open the Word of God with them, to praise with them, to pray with them, to rejoice with them, to love them. And Lord, our time is almost done. But Lord, we know that you're not finished with us. So Lord, I pray that this camp is nothing more than a springboard for what tomorrow holds and what next year holds and what the next decade holds and what the next 20 year holds. Lord, I pray that this is the camp where decisions were made. I pray that this is the camp where people chose to follow you, to make you Lord. I pray that this is the camp where somebody is going to take advantage of it and get saved. Lord, I pray that this is the camp where decisions were made to go all in and to finish strong. Lord, we don't want to punk out like Asa. Lord, we want to finish strong and receive the ministry which you give us. Lord, that we will fulfill it. That is our prayer. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
surrender. Show me what I don't know more of you. I'm desperate for your presence, Lord.